to the victim sides, to the police side, to people that think it's real, people that think it's fake, whatever we want to talk about, we're going to bring it all up. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Voice of Reality Radio with Brian Stangley, Justin Cook, and James Sloan. Okay, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us during that brief break. Listen to a little slick click. That was a pretty quick break, only 2.5 minutes. Thank you. We're all wrapped up with Bill Cosby for now, guys. Maybe at the end of the show, if we have time left over, then we can go back on it. But right now, we are going to touch on the incidents in Ferguson. We're going to touch on it from a few sides, basically. Here's my deal with Ferguson, okay? Ferguson, I didn't give it the attention it deserved in the beginning. I'm going to admit that. I can't deny it. You know, I did not give it the attention it deserved. I just started looking into it, you know, in the last week or so. So I got some catching up to do. I'm finding out new stuff all the time, stuff that many of you might have already known. But I do have some opinions on it, but we're going to come at it from two sides. We're going to come at it from the side of it being a real event, and we're going to come at it from, you know, the contradictions in the stories and what the cop says, if that's real, if that's a lie, what the witnesses say, Michael Brown's character, the policeman's character, what we think happened, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, we always have the was-it-a-whole-hoax side of the argument, which tends to happen at a lot of events that we cover, tends to be our specialty a lot. And Justin's looked a little more into that than I have. I haven't just haven't got to it yet. I'm totally open on what happened here. I'm willing to look at whatever, throw me whatever. Justin, do you want to maybe start with some of the reasons you think it's a hoax, or should I start with some of the so-called facts of the case?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if whatever you want to do, I think me personally, I think just here, I'm gonna start off with some of the reasons that I think it's a possible hoax. I think that for one, you know, it seems like this Michael Brown character, you know, and this is just from YouTube videos. So, I mean, obviously it's not the gospel truth. Obviously there's a lot of this stuff that hasn't come out yet, but it seems like he's, not listed in the SSDI. And there is somebody listed in the SSDI, that, you know, kind of looks like him, that died, you know, a few days before that. But even so, let's just get back to the other thing. It's a perfect storm. I mean, we have, you know, the right versus the left, the authoritarians versus the, you know, the people that don't like cops. We, you know, black versus white, of course, is the major theme of it all. You know, and of course, it's just like the Trayvon thing to me, where it's like, you know, they're pushing these, the narrative of the, you know, the bully white guy kills the, you know, the poor black kid that was troubled, type thing. So every, you know, makes you think that, you know, if you're a parent or whatever, that, you know, your black kid may be next. And hey, there's some basis to that because the cops are out of control. But I do think, you know, and they definitely do target, you know, blacks or minorities at a probably higher level. But let's be honest here, they're at war with all of us. And I think that, you know, as far as...
It's more about the money classes than race, I think, in most cases. They like to hype up the race thing and not let you know it's about the money classes.
Yeah, it's definitely it's a socioeconomic thing, you know, as far as if you're poor, you know, and if you have no clout or, you know, in your community or whatever, then you know, you're probably going to be targeted more. You know, the whole thing about it, though, is, you know, I also thought, here's the thing, too. You know, this kid was killed and supposedly left out in the August sun for 4.5 hours on the concrete. Now, not only is that doesn't follow protocol, I mean, without even a sheet over him, just sitting there so everybody to see. But, you know, but not only does it not follow protocol, but it doesn't even follow human decency, which, you know, to me, it seemed like a bigger trigger, you know, to get everybody going. You know, and here's the thing, too. I mean, we have the thing where, you know, he supposedly was this aggressive kid, you know, robbed the store before and then came out and was walking down the middle of the street and then, you know, went for the cop gun, you know, and the cop shot him. He put his hands up. So, I mean, we have all the marks, you know, where it's like, where it just seems like, you know, they invent these stories. So every little bit makes each side think that they're correct, when in reality, they're playing all sides against each other, you know, and, I don't know. That's my opinion on Brown. I mean, you know, there's more too, but you know, obviously on the Ferguson stuff, I don't think Ferguson itself is a hoax. I think that there's definitely stuff. I think that we're seeing some provocateur action out there where.
Absolutely, that's what I think. Somebody said to me, "You don't think there's Asian provocateurs?" Yeah, I do, but they're doing their job and getting real reactions from real people. So there's a mixture. The event's real, like what's going on is real, the situation. Even if the event was staged, the shooting, the situation that's going on is still real.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, there's definitely real people's businesses being burned down, and there's, you know, there's definitely, you know, people that are going around looting and stealing and whatnot. No doubt about that. I don't think anybody can deny that. Maybe the media can be guilty of playing it up a little bit more than it is, or maybe, you know, also of inciting it, you know, definitely inciting it, you know, but,
absolutely the media is inciting it. I don't know. Can I give my opinion on what I heard
no,
and then
no,
tell you what I think?
No, your opinion is not
allowed tonight. So here's what happened basically, guys. And I got some stats too to throw at you real quick. Just one stat, honestly. So basically what happened is they were deliberating on if this guy was going to get indicted, meaning if he was even going to go to trial to find out if he's innocent and guilty. They're not even going to present the evidence to the state and all this shit and go to trial. Okay, that's where this is. And now, how often does that happen? Well, let me tell you something. You know how often it happens? I forgot what the stat that they gave, if it was in that state for the year or in the country for the year, but out of 162,000 cases, any type of case, how many of the 162,000 ballpark do you think don't get indicted and they just give them a shot, like put it through, it's just to put it into the system. How many do you think they don't do that to out of 162,000?
What was the question again? Sorry, I was typing. You said 162,000 what?
Out of 162,000 cases a year that they can indict, right? How many of them do you think they don't go forward with the indictment and don't even see if the person needs to be found innocent or guilty?
Now, are we talking?
I'll tell you.
Hold on, real quick. But I'm asking: is this cops or just in general?
Anybody.
Anybody. Okay. All right. Yeah. No. Would you say 9 or 10, something like that?
11. 11 out of 162,000. Cases, only 11 where they don't indict the person and at least see what happens in the court of law. Now, we're talking about somebody that got fucking shot in a supposed self-defense case from a cop. Okay, now I say supposed, okay? Yeah, I did say supposed. Now, listen to this, okay? Now, I could be missing a lot of facts. If I'm missing stuff, guys, please excuse me. Please throw it in here. Like I said, I just started on this, but I had to because I need an opinion on this. I can't just keep saying, I haven't looked at it. Meanwhile, everybody's talking about it. I had to look into it. Now, here's what the cop says, okay? His story is that the story by him and by the media or whatever, and not by the witnesses, we'll give the story after. The story is that Brown robbed and he robbed a store for some cigarillos, which are blunts, cigars to roll even. Okay, he robbed the store for some blunts, supposedly pushed the guy out of the way and just walked out of there. And then the officer Wilson, Darren Wilson, was driving the cruiser down the street, seen Brown and his friend walking down the middle of the road and told him to get on the sidewalk. And they said to him, "We're almost to our destination. We'll get on the sidewalk then or whatever." So then he asked them to come over. Now, the story to the officer is that all of a sudden, look, this is where it doesn't even make sense. Now, all of a sudden, Brown starts punching him through the window of the police car. Starts punching him. And in the middle of punching him, he stops punching him. Has the cops, like, going for his gun, too, or whatever. He stops punching him, and he says to his friend, "Here, hold these." To hand him the cigars that he stole from the store. In the middle of fighting, and I'm a police officer, he's worried about the cigar that he stole from the store. That sounds to me like they're just trying to tie him to the crime to make it seem like, oh, yeah, this is definitely the guy. He definitely got the right guy after the fact. That's what it sounds like to me. Okay, so then he's hitting him. And, you know, Wilson's story is that Brown went for his gun. He had it pointed into the officer's pelvic region by twisting his arm and pointing his own gun at him. So he was able to, like, twist the gun back or whatever, shot it into Michael Brown. Michael Brown went back or whatever. And then he went back, like, 30 feet. and then he started charging back towards the cop, like 10 feet, like he was possessed. The cop actually said when he was holding him in the car, it was like he was fighting Hulk Hogan. That's what he said. Now, this cop's not a small man. He's 6'4 himself. He's the same height as Michael Brown. The same height, okay? He's not a little guy. But so he said that Michael Brown went back 20 feet, and then he started advancing 10 feet.
No, I just wanted to say real quick, the only thing that I would say where that would be normal behavior for someone to act like that would be possibly under the influence of some type of speed or PCP, with, you know, otherwise known as dust, but none of that came up in the toxicology report, supposedly.
No, and
so,
not only that, it was bullshit. This is why it's bullshit.
Isn't gonna do that.
No, listen to why it's bullshit. So he goes 20 feet back, 30 feet back, and he says he charges 10 feet towards him, and that's when he started unloading more shots into him, and he killed him, okay? Now, before I even seen the video I'm about to talk about, this is all developing over the last few days to me. This is old news for some of you, okay? But this is the way I learned it. So then you hear that he has this whole story. Then I hear that the body was found 150 feet away. But the police officer said it was 20 feet away. He said 30 feet, came back 10 feet. That's 20 feet away from the cruiser, is where the body should lie. It's 150 fucking feet. Now, why is it 150 feet away? Now, that's what I was trying to tell people that said, oh, this cop definitely didn't do it. Brown was a thug, this and that. You seen him, they were sharing a picture that wasn't even him on the group. You seen that today. I know you did. It wasn't even a picture of Michael Brown. It was a picture of some people with a gun and money in his mouth, and they're trying to make Michael Brown look like a thug.
Didn't even look like him. But that's, it's been being pushed since right after it happened. The that picture was, of the, you know, the, yeah, like you said, the one where he's got money in his mouth, and they have a bottle of booze on the table, and he's got, you know, the gun pointed, you know,
So then I hear a story, I hear the story about the witnesses, and I didn't know this, but the witnesses had said, and stupid me, just because I haven't followed it, this is old news to all of you, like I said, all the witnesses, pretty much, have said that Brown had put his hands up and surrendered. He was shot while he was surrendering, and he was not right on the police car. He was that great distance away. He wasn't any threat. You always did a steal from the guys. They could have let him go. So now I'm wondering if this confrontation in the cruiser even happened at all. But then I heard from the witnesses that the cop actually did have a confrontation at the cruiser, but the cop grabbed the Brown by the neck, pulled him into the cruiser. Then there was the scuffle for the gun and the shot went off or whatever. But then Brown was, like, way down the street, and the cop had the gun drawn on him, could have had him lay down in the dirt, handcuff him, whatever, and the cop just basically shot him for no reason. Now, it's like, who do you believe? Do you believe the cop, or do you believe the witnesses? Well, then the witnesses stopped piling up. Then there's a videotape that I saw today that I guess just surfaced. I don't know how many days ago, but it came out after everything else. And it's a witness video, and somebody's filming it, and as they're filming it, you hear the gunshots go off. This is, like, filming the actual thing going down, okay? You don't see Brown, it's a little off to the side. The fucking gunshots are going off, and you can hear the other witnesses. There's like three witnesses in the video. One of them says he had his hands up or whatever, and you can see the witness throwing his hands up in a motion like to say, hey, he had his hands up, why did you shoot him, you know? And then another witness, a minute later, is like, he wasn't any fucking threat at all. He was surrendering. So we have all this. We have the total lies in the cop's story about the distance of the body. Why would he lie about the distance of the body? Well, he would lie about it because that would make him, he's trying to show a reason of why he shot this kid, because the kid supposedly attacked him, and he had no choice to kill him. I think he absolutely didn't have to kill him. I think the kid did go and had a confrontation with him at the car or whatever. I don't know who started it, but according to the witnesses, the cop started it. Grabbed the kid by the back of the neck, and then he shot him when he was 150 feet down the road. And the kid had his hands up surrendering. Had his hands up surrendering.
Right.
Makes me mad, dude. I'm gonna play the video. It's right here, guys. It's a 6-minute video. I'm not gonna play the whole thing. I'm gonna play like the first minute, and then I'll fast forward a little bit so you can hear the second guy. Just listen, you'll hear the gunshot. And then you'll hear him say that he wasn't doing anything. And I'll give you the link too. That way, if you guys want to look at it and see what's going on as we play it, here it is right here in the chat, right there. All right, and just listen to the witnesses and look at their reaction. These are natural witness reactions right here. These do not look like actors to me. I'm sorry, they just don't. This looks totally realistic, and their reaction is that of a man being shot while he surrendered. I mean, there's no other way to say that. I'm going to play it right now. Here we go. Have a listen.
CNN has obtained new video of the aftermath of the Michael Brown shooting. And the footage basically shows two witnesses that were very, very close to the scene when the shooting happened. They're two construction workers who do not want their identity to be revealed. However, their account of what occurred is consistent with what other witnesses had said about the shooting. So take a look at the video and we'll give you more.
The men you see in this exclusive cell phone video hear gunshots. They are about 50 feet away from Michael Brown and Officer Darren Wilson. The unidentified person recording this video captured the witness's reaction during the final moments of the shooting. Both men were contractors working in the area. They did not want to be identified. The man on the left in the pink shirt told CNN they heard one gunshot, then about 30 seconds later, a second shot. He says he saw Michael Brown staggering. Then he says Brown put his hands up and said, "Okay, okay, okay." The witness told us the cop didn't say get on the ground, he just kept shooting. That same witness described the gruesome scene, saying he saw Michael Brown's brains come out of his head, again reiterating his hands were up. Watch how he motions on the video. The video, these witnesses say, was taken shortly after the shooting ended. If you look closely, you can see a police officer in the distance beginning to put up crime scene tape. Both men told us by the time it was over, there were three officers on the scene, but only one involved in the shooting.
So this is very important for a couple of reasons. Number one, for some insane reason, people didn't.
All right, and we'll give you our own commentary on why it's important. But I'm going to fast forward in a minute too and get to the other part. But I don't know if you guys watched it. You guys definitely need to watch it to see their reactions with the audio that goes with it. But I'm telling you right now, when you watch it, you are going to say to yourself, okay, whatever you might think about the event, fine. But what you're seeing right there, even if they're being fooled into seeing a shooting or whatever, those guys are giving you a genuine reaction. Yeah, throwing their hands up right after the bullet, saying this kid had his hands up, why did you shoot him? Another guy specifically says it a minute later and says he was no fucking threat. Yada, yada, yada. I forget exactly what it says. Just watch the video, guys. I just put it in the chat. To me, it's certainly a slam dunk that the officer's lying. About how much is he lying, I don't know, but it seems like he is totally lying, totally used excessive force. Maybe he had it out for this kid. If this kid really was shoplifting, he probably is a punk. That being said, all you idiots out there, all the social media and everywhere else that say, oh, he was a thug, he got what he deserved, fuck you, okay? That's what I think. He's a thug, he got what he deserved. Nobody deserves to be shot by these cops. You need to stop letting the cops divide us. So what if he was a thug, and you're a prep, and this guy's a jock, and this is a woman, and this is a guy, and I'm African, and you're Indian, and you're Pakistani, and my brother's Chinese. It's them against us, man. It's them against us. Every 28 hours, another person, another unarmed citizen, is killed in this country by a police officer. Every 28 hours. That's almost one a day an innocent person is killed by a police officer. And what generally happens to them? They leave. You're lucky.
Thanks for listening. To continue, please open your player and click the continue button. We don't want to play to an empty room. Thanks.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know that was on, sorry. Where is that? Yeah, so what happens generally? They get a paid leave, right? Pay vacation. It's unbelievable. Instantly, that's what happens. When you discharge your firearm as a police officer, in most departments, you are instantly placed on administrative leave for at least a couple of weeks, I think, and you have to go on those psychiatric evaluation. And who knows if that's all bullshit, but that's the process that you go through. Something's got to be done. Now, this whole case is important, whether it's real or whether it's a hoax, because it brings out so many different social issues, so many different Big Brother issues. What we need to do, we got all this Big Brother shit on us, right? We got shit up in the radio antennas. We got shit built into the guardrails now to read your feed. We got shit in the ground to read your speed. We got. You know, spying on us on the internet. We got carry IQ, key tracking our phone, key logging our phone. Okay, we got cops that are killing people once every 28 hours. When are we going to put little cameras on their name badges and make it a very stiff punishment if that camera's ever disabled? When are we going to have that on video? Now, I'm not saying the public has to get access to every video of every arrest, but anytime something like this happens, we need to see that video, because this is bullshit, and we know that the cops are going to get on the cops' backs all the time.
You want to hear a funny story? The other day,
absolutely.
The other day was I forget which police force it was. They wanted to put a something in their cars that would have told how fast they were going. It would have recorded all this stuff.
I saw they advertised for the consumer, actually, like it was cool. I saw this just today. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, they were putting all this stuff, saying they were going to put all this stuff in the cars, and the cops said, no, that's violating our privacy. But yet, what do they advocate for everything else that violates our privacy? You know, this is the story. Like,
this
they
isn't
really
even
are.
About privacy, man. This is about fucking survival, too. You know what
well,
I mean?
No,
like, this
well,
is
right.
like, we,
well,
want, we don't want to well, die. Nobody's got to be held accountable.
But what I'm saying though is that's what the cops' excuse is though.
I know what you're saying. It's ironic that that's what they say when they're totally
right.
invading us. I know what you mean. But I'm saying to us, it's so much more than their invasion of privacy.
Right. Well, the thing about it though is there's a few solutions to it. As far as getting the cops in order, because I mean, for one, they have to stop, for one, we're militarizing the shit out of them. You can't just give them all this hardware, dress them up like soldiers, and expect them not to play like soldiers. Then we have them going and being taught by the FBI and being taught, some are even taught in Israel, some are taught in, and even the academies are just way crazier than 20 years ago as far as, when they tell them that it's okay to use lethal force, or even when it's okay to use so-called unlethal force, which is like tasering, pepper spray, stuff like that. It's all this stuff is pushing the border of what's acceptable and what's not, and they legitimately look at all of us as a potential criminal and as the enemy, and that's what we have is cops that are ready to go to war inside the United States, and the other thing about it is they're allowed to when a cop does something, for the most part, where does it go? Internal affairs, which is other cops. So we have cops that are investigating themselves for a crime, and in any type of, republic or democracy, whatever the hell you want to
exactly.
call it.
Exactly. Well, that was one point I wanted to make earlier. Let me just say one thing real quick. As far as when these cases come up, these cases need to be tried in a totally different county or state than the way the cops work. They can't have the DAs they work with all the time working on their own case to prosecute them. That's a big conflict of interest.
Right.
Can you
hear that?
Oh, his audio is pretty bad, huh? James, I'm going to disconnect you and dial you back up because you're just all choppy. I'm going to call you right back, though. Get out of here. Sorry, guys. I had to disconnect from James real quick. Let me just add him back to the call. Mr. Swoon. There we go. All right. I want to see how this is playing out over there for James. I don't know. So, yeah, guys, basically what we were saying, it's the whole shit that's real. There's these certain issues that they're pushing. The whole, they get people fired up about the race card, but it's really more about class warfare. It's not really about the race card like they want us to think. They want whites to be mad at blacks, blacks to be mad at whites. I see some of the most ignorant people. It's just like the whole Muslim thing I said. I think it was the last show we did. And I said the people that really pissed me off are these ignorant people that say, bomb all the Muslims and then, nuke this country back to the Stone Age and this and that. I see these same idiots saying the same stuff. In 2014, they are saying this stuff about black people. They are calling them all animals, saying this is how they all act. Now, listen to me. I totally do not condone the rioting. I don't condone the out-of-line protesting. I do condone regular protesting. I do understand, though. Can you understand why these fucking people would be frustrated? They tried to go the right route. They tried to go to justice. Not only did they not get justice, there wasn't even a chance to get a verdict. They said, F you. We're not even going to put the evidence out to the state and go to trial. We don't even need to do that. They just keep it shut. No big deal.
And that's another thing that leads me to possible hoax, because... in normal cases, like you said, you know, this guy would have been indicted at least. And then, you know, if he walks, he walks by a regular jury. But the fact that they didn't even, the fact that, nothing too, they released this at night.
Good point. Just like involving more people and more processes they didn't want to do if it's a hoax, right? Is that what you're getting at?
Right. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that too, and just to piss him off even more, you know, and you know, supposedly the verdict was ready at, you know, noontime, and they waited.
Oh yeah, and they waited
until
nighttime when it gets nice and dark and there's more trouble.
Right.
That's unbelievable. Exactly. And they serve, so these people making these racist comments, it's everywhere, dude, and it's just like after Katrina, you see it, and it's just now. You can't stereotype a whole group of people, just like I'm saying these racist people, you know? But, man, it makes me embarrassed to be a white person sometimes when some of these the stuff they say about black people, some of these people, man.
I'll tell you what is, I mean, it's very disgusting when you see it coming from the whites, but I got to say it, coming from, you know, the blacks, it's just as bad, you know, as far as...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And even the people that are siding with them, you know, we're seeing these people that are so... brainwashed by the political correctness thing, and they're taught that this white guilt stuff, and it's just like with the feminist movement where they're taught, you know, about this rape culture. It's all nonsense as far as like white guilt. Like I said it on Facebook the other day. I have no reason to have any guilt. I didn't own slaves. I didn't participate in Jim Crow. To my knowledge, my family didn't. Most of them were still in Europe. Some of them were here and. You know, we're quarry workers and you know humble farmers and whatnot, and you know, and as far as that goes, for them to keep pushing this stuff, and yeah, I understand that you know, economically, you know, most blacks don't have it good in this country, but you know, it's getting to the point now where nobody has it good, and it's not like you know, we have these things in place to where. They actually have a, you know, they're more equal as far as, you know, when it comes to affirmative action and things like that. So, I mean, and of course, all these things are made to push, to pit black against white and whites against Mexicans and blacks against Mexicans, you know, with this new amnesty thing, which is another thing that's creeping at this, you know, at the same time. And Rogue, I just want to say about the amnesty thing, obviously, I'm sorry to get off topic, but...
No, there's so many points that come from this story, guy. We're going to go a few more directions still. Don't worry. Go ahead. Amnesty.
Well, you know, the thing is, he's supposedly going to give citizenship to 5 million, at least, people right away. Well, you know, and a lot of the so-called Republicans are up in arms about it, but, you know, the thing is the elite have always... whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, you know, obviously our listeners are smarter than that to fall for that shit, but...
They want the immigrants to run their slave system.
Exactly. That's what it is.
Like it's, the prison it's system. It's the same idea, right?
Yeah, it's exactly. It's basic modern feudal estate where, you know, you're going to, you know, you can't have a, you know, you can't have one of these super corporations or companies without, you know, paying these... you know, El Salvadorians or Mexicans or whatever, $8 an hour when the average American would want, you know, $13-$14 to do that job. You know what I mean? So it's basic economics and it's basic to keep the regular people down and getting food stamps and getting everything else, and yet they're bringing all these people over. And, you know, whether they're already here working or not, but, you know, it also creates a tax base. But, you know, it's so much... divide and conquer stuff going on, you know, and I don't know how much longer this can go before this powder keg blows, but, you know, it's really insane. And like I said, too, like I was saying earlier about racism, reverse racism and stuff, you know, this is all cultural Marxism is exactly what it is, where they're making everybody hate the white people, hate the white male, the so-called patriarchy, when it, you know, again, you know, yes, so-called white people have always been in positions of authority in this country, but that doesn't mean that you know, Justin Cook or Brian Stavely or, you know, or any other American has been in this, you know, my family sure as hell ain't any senators, you know, I'm no congressman's son or nephew or anything like that. So, I mean, you know, it's these false narratives that are pushed, and so many of these things, can be debunked. And you know, another thing too is, you know, how many people are, you know, how many white people are killed by cops? And just the other day, a black cop killed a white kid, an unarmed white kid.
I got a video of that too. Was the kid in Baltimore, the 12-year-old kid with the fake gun? Is that the white kid or is that the other kid?
No, that was a black kid. No, this was a white kid in, I believe it was New York State. He was tripping on LSD, and supposedly, I don't know what happened. I don't remember the whole story, but he was unarmed, did have his hands up as well, and got shot in the chest. And I believe he died. So, you know,
that's why it's important, too, to bring it up, you know, because they just keep getting away with this shit, man. There was that one, there was the kid, he's 12 years old, all right, and he got shot the other day because he supposedly had a toy gun. Now, I saw the video today, it finally came out, and in this video, all right, you want to talk about no discretion used? The cops didn't even stop the damn police car, they just rolled up on the kid, basically jumped out of a moving car and blasted rounds into a 12-year-old. How did they even know if the gun was real or fake? It was unbelievable, the video, unbelievable. And I'll put it in the chat for everybody so you can see it afterwards. Unbelievable, dude.
Yeah.
Sorry, Justin. I haven't dropped that in there.
No. You know, and that's the thing. And of course, you know, as a cop, you're going to be wary of anything because it did look like a real gun, you know, and especially from far away. But again, you know, here's the same situation of, you know, where you have this, you know, back in the day, a cop would have still had more restraint. And he actually, I believe the kid was actually putting the gun on the ground or trying to, you know, he took it out of his waistband. You know, the cops, I think he said drop it or whatever, and the kid went to go pull it out and put it down, and you know, he capped him. And, you know, a 12-year-old kid, you know, I know when I was 12 years old, I had BB guns and stuff like that, and, you know, I probably may have done some stupid thing, you know, back then, and hey, who knows if back, you know, if a cop would have shot me? It's and that's the thing nowadays. Their trigger fingers are too itchy. They're too scared.
Yeah, they can get away with it. There's no deterrent. They can get away with it. They're not. Never mind. Go to jail. They're not even going to lose their job.
Right. You know, and the thing about it is, you know, what's crazy is we hear all this stuff about how noble and how great cops are and how we should respect them. You know that they're not even in the top 10 list of most dangerous jobs, not even in the top 10. You know, we have so many other jobs that are more dangerous, you know, from commercial fishermen to loggers to, you know, mine, you know, all these different jobs. And yet, you know, we're just taught to respect this authority of these people because they
wear authority, that's why.
Yeah, because they have a shiny badge of tin, you know, a shiny tin badge on their costume. And that's all they are, is costumes, you know. I mean, I can dress up like that and, you know, pretend to be one, and until somebody stops me, I can, you know, go around doing the same thing. You know what I mean? It's you know, and you go to the academy for, what, 6 weeks, and that makes you now judge, jury, and executioner, you know? So, I mean, it's going to boil over, and there's going to be, you know, people on both sides getting killed, and you know, and I think the cops need to start putting out the bad cops, because the blue wall of silence shit is only going to hurt them more, you know. But the basic thing about it, though, is if you're going to be a cop, you know, then you should be prepared, you know, knowing that you know that you may die or whatever the case may be. You know, but these people, they're so selfish that they're not even willing, you know, to take that chance. I know it may sound selfish to me, but if you're supposed to be a public servant, then, you know, I would think a 12-year-old kid's safety would be more important than your safety. You know what I'm saying? And that's how it should be. It's not that way. But that's how it should be, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, Tiger on the thing said Michael Brown died 150 feet away. I mentioned that. That's what I mentioned. Yeah, the police lied about it. And why would they lie about it? Well, probably to make it look like the whole reasoning that he had a reason to shoot him, that he was in danger for his life. The kid was coming out of him, not that he was 150 feet away, because then there'd be no reason to shoot him. People are asking if it's legit. Don't know yet.
Is he asking about the one with the 12-year-old kid or about the 12-year-old kid?
Oh, yeah, the 12-year-old kid. I don't know, dude. I saw the story for 5 minutes. You know, I'm just mentioning it. I really don't know.
I don't know if they – did they even show a video of it happening or –
Yeah, I gave you the video earlier. I got the video. Yeah, they show a cop blow up and don't even really call the cop. We have a caller. Hold on 1 second. It's Psy Girl.
Sure.
Hi, you're on the air with Dose of Reality Radio.
Yeah, this is the Psy Girl calling from the Baltimore-Washington Security Zone corridor. You familiar with
How are you doing, Psy Girl?
So my name is Lynn Ertel. I go by Psy Girl because I used to perform martial arts to music with the Psy in clubs and stuff. I had an act, and I was called the Psy.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
So,
what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to endorse the direction that the whole discussion has taken because I think people can clearly see, irrespective of what actually happened, you know, whether some, you know, typical neighborhood bully got into a pissing match with an incompetent, cowardly, stupid cop who didn't even have the brains to call for backup, but had balls big enough to
take all. Well, he was the backup. He was the backup. He showed up, and as soon as he got there, he started shooting.
Right. So here's the thing. You know how the people at the top operate. They've got a whole contingency public relations campaign plan set up to be triggered by exactly such an event. It's probably, you know, like I used to say the file sitting in a file cabinet, but now it's all on computer. It's probably on Eric Holder's computer, the contingency plan for how to handle the next, you know, neighborhood kid who badmouths a cop, gets shot, you know, and the cop is too stupid to plant a throwaway on the kid. Chris, Wilson, you know, that the standard operating procedure for decades and decades has been to use throwaways for that. But I guess there were too many witnesses around for Wilson and his, if you're saying there was another cop on the scene when Wilson shot him.
There were two cops, and Wilson actually called and said, you need my backup. And then from the time he called them and to the time Wilson Brown was dead in the road, there was only 90 seconds had passed. So supposedly that whole scuffle, him getting there, him shooting the kid and everything happened in a minute and a half.
So, so you're saying we can implicate the other two cops in the cover-up and the perjury after the
fact. Oh, yeah, they were there. They've seen everything. Everything that happened, they were there, and they were the ones there taking the scene off right away.
Yeah.
So there at least two other cops there.
Yeah. I mean, that's all it comes down to with these mobbed up scenes for me is who can immediately be tagged as a material witness, who could be tagged as an accessory after the fact because they're lying or they're destroying evidence or they're just refusing to speak up out of fear or because they're compromised, or who is actively involved in the crime.
There's more, too. There's the who's the person that does the crime scene photos? They're involved. They didn't take any photos of the car. And he shot a round off in the car into the kid. That's a mad crime scene. They didn't take any of that. And they also went against operating procedure and let Officer Wilson put his own guns into evidence. He submitted his own weapon from his own crime that happened into evidence, and he's not supposed to do that. So all types of
The photos are normally taken by the medical examiner. Where's Wayne Carver when we need him? They should have flown him in.
Right? He's the best.
That's so
funny.
They're going to be, you know, I've been listening. I've been listening to Maine's.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey.
Well, what happened to her? Did she drop? I added this caller. Hold on 1 second, caller.
Mm-hmm. Who's the caller? Is that Jim in China?
Yeah, it's Jim.
Hey, Jim, how
are
you?
Jim, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, everybody can hear us. Psy Girl, are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought we lost you. I'm like, okay, everybody's here. I'm sorry. We have another call.
We got everybody
Jim, we'll
on.
You,
Jim and,
yeah,
Jim, and
we'll let you get your point in a second.
Yeah, go for it. Sorry,
go ahead. We have another call, but you, let me finish you finish up your point.
Yeah,
what were you saying? You want to get back to what you were saying, or should I just let Jim go? Are you all set? All right, Jim, what's going on, buddy? What do you got?
Oh, man, sorry, guys. I didn't mean to screw up the call. It sounded like you guys were going to
fix there. It's all right. We're fine now. What's going on? What did you want to talk about here?
I don't know enough about it to say. I haven't really looked into it at all, and I don't have the TV here to be bombarded by this whole Ferguson thing. So I go back to what it kind of looks like from the vague images I have seen, and it looks like something that's fake, like a lot of stuff ends up being. You know, I think right now, because everybody's in the moment, I think the conversation gets heated, and it starts to be about cops. And I'm just curious if you guys are thinking about that, if there's a fakery angle to this. I'm pretty sure...
We addressed that. Justin tends to think it's fake, and I said I'm not sure, but I'm open to it. I just need to see more. But
right.
We definitely addressed it.
Right, it leads to the bigger argument about what the police and the actions of the police we hear about nowadays. And I guess that's what I'm calling in to talk about is, are you guys really sure that all this police brutality is going on? You know, because
no,
it comes
of course
to,
not. But there's definitely some going on. So it's worth talking about. And whether this is a real event or a fake event, it desensitizes everybody to the police brutality.
I just want to get a quick point. I definitely have to say with the police brutality going on, I'd say a good amount of it has to be real. I think a lot of it has always been going on. I think just with the fact that so many people have videos and cell phones is why we're seeing so much more of it, and so much more of it is being reported. You know, and of course, you know, Jim, I think, you know, you're right on that too, where there's definitely a campaign as well to make people hate cops more than they already do, you know, to radicalize us to a point as well. And, you know, and that's part of, I think, the alternative media feeds into that as well. So I think you're right. We have to be careful of any which way you go, because there's always, you know, in my opinion, they've set up the conspiracy movement for that, you know, for that role. And the cops, you know, not being too intelligent nowadays, they're playing the useful idiot, you know, and they're willing to take all the power that you give them. You know what I mean? So yeah, you know, we may very well be playing into a psyop ourselves. But yeah, continue.
Right, I wasn't calling to say you guys were doing anything wrong. I just,
everybody in general. I mean, you know, everyone that's buying into, you know, to all of this stuff. That's pretty much what I meant by that.
Yeah, I mean, we started the show up. I started off by saying whether you think, you know, it might be a hoax, or if it's real. I mean, the clock's totally lying, and the whole thing's bullshit that way. But either way, it serves a lot of the same causes, whether it was real or a hoax, especially the desensitizing, you know, people to the cops doing this everywhere. It basically starts a class war that they disguise as a race war. People think there's a race war, but really it's the ultra rich against everybody else, and people kind of turn into this other thing. And they, whether there's Asian provocateurs there or not, I don't doubt that. I think there probably are. And the media has been trying to stir this up, and the government knew this was coming. They were all prepared for it, all into place. But there are some definitely real people there that have their emotions running wild. I mean, there's definitely some people that I've seen that weren't acting. I mean, there's probably some that are, for sure. But, I mean, probably a mixture of both. I don't really know yet, you know?
The thing is, as far as that goes, you don't need, you know, all you need is the person with the bullhorn and the person that lights the first match and throw, you know, and to be controlled, because the people are, you know, they're a captive audience, and obviously the person with the bullhorn or whatever is, you know, that's been getting them riled up all night, you know, they're going to listen to what they say. When they say burn this bitch down, and they see someone go and light a cop car on fire or go and light a building on fire, well, they're going to go and loot the next building and do the same thing. So, I mean, you know, it's as far as, you know, I think there's definitely, when you see CNN, that's probably part of a, you know, production is, you know, like when they had the cop pushing them back and you had the CNN reporter get hit with a rock. You know, most of that, I'm sure they're out of harm's way, most of those people. But as far as, I do think the riots and stuff, I do think that was real. I just think it was provoked. That's my opinion on that. I think it was, you know, just like, I think it was one of the G20 things. It's funny how they have all these cops in strategic locations, yet they always park these a single cop car out in the middle, you know, more on the so-called protester side, where they can just go and easily light it on fire, and that makes for a great picture of this burning cop car, and, you know, and gets everybody fired up, and you know what I mean? It's something that you would think that professionals wouldn't make a mistake like that, you know. Yeah. But obviously, they want that, you know. That.
All right. Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen the cop block videos on YouTube?
Yes. Yes. They're getting wide circulation. And I think we have to look at the way the feds are using Ferguson as almost a reaction to the rise of not only cop block, but other similar kinds of what I would consider electronic grassroots movements. In reaction to, you know, they've accelerated the pace of militarization of local police forces, because obviously they're preparing on additional downsizing and population relocation, perhaps importation of larger numbers of immigrants. I mean, it's important for them to militarize, or at least to provide a backdrop and a justification for it, so that it becomes normalized in people's minds.
Yeah, and that's another thing that this does, whether it's real or fake. We see the images of the military vehicles by the police in the streets, and just like we saw it happen in the Boston Marathon in Watertown and everywhere else, you get used to it. You see it everywhere.
Yeah. I want to, in parenthetically, since you brought up the Boston Marathon, I wanted to pay tribute to another broadcaster, one of your peers, Hardcore Harry Link over Truth Broadcasting Network, who...
Sure, I like Harry.
Yeah, who, you know, I don't always agree with Harry. He's,
no,
he's
I don't
kind
either,
of religious,
but
I'm not, that's not my thing. But right. But he's a fearless guy. His commentary on the Watertown martial law exercise, and he made the point, we don't really know whether that one clip where you see them marching, and I know Brian's going to be sensitive to this because... Yeah, Christ, the first time I think I heard you on the radio, I kept thinking of, like, the Matt Damon character in that Robin Williams film. What's it called?
Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, right. Are you a Southie, Brian, by any chance?
No, a lot of people say that. No, I'm not.
Okay, well, it's a distinction, you know, because...
Yeah.
But you know the culture, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, his town is pretty much not far removed from Charlestown or Southie, where he's in Lowell.
Right.
There, it's same blue collar, you know, Irish mentality. Not saying Brian's Irish, but you know that's where the basis of a lot of those cities were in.
But it's all gone now, right? It's all gone. It's a faded memory now, isn't it? I mean, it's the memory of what of the world we grew up in, or you grew up in. You're even younger than me, but it's gone. Can you honestly say that much of that culture remains in Boston and surrounding, you know, in that area? I guess what I'm getting at is when you see those clips of the Darth Vader SWAT teams going into that house in Watertown and marching the inhabitants out of the house with their hands up in the air, under the pretext that they're hunting for, you know, some pot-smoking college kid who they're claiming, you know, set off a pressure cooker. But you know, I don't need to go through all that. But it was stunning to watch that. And Harry made the point. He said, I don't know whether this is really happening or whether, he says, it looks to me like they actually staged this scene with a director in order to make a point, to circulate it.
Right.
And to say, this is what we now can do. This is the threshold.
Oh, yeah, they did. No, they did. And they slapped a fancy new name on it, too. They didn't call it martial law. I forget what they called it. But, yeah, That's a good point. But listen, we're going to take a break real quick, and we're going to clear the lines because we have somebody else kind of calling too. But thank you guys for calling. I appreciate it. Thank you for
listening. You guys are great. Thanks for the show.
All right. Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
You're listening to Ghosts of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, and James Sloan, and we'll be right back.
Regulators. You regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steel, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up! It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets, trying to consume some skirts for the E, so I could get some fun.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Justin Cook, James Sloan. I want to thank my callers for calling in. Sorry, we've had it a little shorter than usual. Just trying not to have the calls go, like, so long because we have so many people calling. We have somebody that was just trying to call in right now, too, and I missed it. So if you're able to call right back, my friend, call right back. We were on break, so I stepped away from the mic for a minute. I'll get you right back on. And thank you, Jim, and thank you to the Psy Girl for calling in. Some great points. And this will probably be our last segment. We're going to wrap it up in probably 15 minutes or so. James Sloan.
Hello.
Your thoughts on Ferguson, my friend? I haven't heard from you in quite a while.
Yeah, I was starting to make a point, and then I got the dreaded blue screen of death.
I didn't know what happened to you. Go ahead. You're on the stage, buddy. It's all yours. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, because one thing for me was I think someone posted one of the groups, it might have been one of the other ones, about the number of, whether they're all real or not, the number of police shootings, people killed by police officers. I think, like, England, Australia, New Zealand, the number was like one or two.
Yep.
And in the last year in America, it was like 300, 400 maybe. That just goes to show you. I mean, because, like, down here, obviously in this country, our police don't carry firearms. In Australia, they do.
Yeah, so it's a different ball game. Yeah.
In Australia,
what's the difference in deaths between you and Australia? The percentages.
About the same, really. Well, England, police don't carry guns either. For a country of 50, 60 million, that's quite, probably the biggest example of, I guess, an unarmed police force. Of course, when England banned guns, I think the crime rate sort of went up. But then other countries, there doesn't seem to be any correlation between gun laws and, like, police shootings or things like that. But obviously, if the police are unarmed, there's not nearly as many police shootings. I think Justin alluded to that, or to me.
Of course.
I think one of the bigger appeals of, if you're going to move away, you know, out of the United States, would probably be to a country where getting shot by a police officer wasn't such a credible threat.
I don't know. I mean, are some of the police shootings fake? Maybe. It's possible. I think some are definitely real, though. I think there's a lot of them that are real. I just think something like that, it's a little bit different than, like, an event, like a Sandy Hook or even a 9/11, where you have this one-time event and this conglomeration of names and you make all this forgery and stuff. But, like, when they go into a community and say a police officer shot this person, and then if that person really has real ties to the community and the person's removed and all these things that we didn't really see so much with some of these other events, I don't know, it makes me wonder. It makes me just think it's a little harder to fake it. Not that they can't. It just makes me think it's a little harder. Either way, whether they're 100% real, 100% fake, 50-50, as far as the police shootings of unarmed citizens, either way, and whether Ferguson's real or fake, either way, I think the big point here is it's desensitizing us to it. You see it, and what do you say now? it's different than before. You see it, and it's like, oh, just another police shooting, you know? Just another police shooting, and they just constantly get away with it. And it's like, people don't even really look at it. People don't make as much of a big deal as they should. Like, people think this Ferguson has been blown out of proportion or something. This kid's dead, man. He's dead. Like, that's it. He's dead. When are we going to stop letting this just slide, you know?
I think we need to remember it's not just police shootings. They're the extreme end of the spectrum. But every day on Facebook, there's videos circulating of just, you know, excessive use of the taser or the baton or the billy club, as you call it. Or you know, that's the main thing. The shootings, the fatal shootings, are the extreme end.
Killing people's pets as well is another huge.
To bring that up. Yep. That's the new thing. Somebody's trying to call. I can't take any more calls right now. The Skype's acting a little funny, and we're going to close up the show soon. We'll have to take a call again next week. Sorry about that. That's the other thing, is the thing with the dogs is that's the new thing, suppose. Now, this reminds me of the 9/11 stories about the daycare center and stuff like that. Like, this is something I think might very well be a fake story. Like, how many dogs are they really going around killing? Because that really just pulls at your heartstrings right there. But then again, who am I to say that? We need to look into it. You know, I'm going to look into that this week. I think we should all look and see if these really deep, real stories about them shooting dogs, because that's pretty brutal, man. If they could just really doing that to people, I mean, that's just showing people no absolute fucking respect at all. That's just like the ultimate signs of the police state. Guys, if this stuff is going on, we can't just assume everything's fake without looking at it, okay? Just because so many things happen. I always say that. Like, let's assume something is real, take an opinion until it's proven fake. Well, let's assume it's fake, but let's get the proof to make sure that we're right about it being fake, you know? If we're going to assume it's fake from the beginning, which we all do for a lot of things, let's not deny it. But let's make sure, you know? And I don't know, man. This whole police state thing really does seem like it's kind of real. You know, I mean, it's not the FEMA camp bullshit that Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura were pushing. It's not exactly 1984 like Alex Jones was pushing. But there's some real shit going on here. I mean, the surveillance is crazy now. You don't even have to have a cop there to give you a ticket. You can get a ticket from the camera. You've got the police brutality. I'm a victim of police brutality myself. Nothing like this, but the cops beat the crap out of me one night. They didn't identify. I might as well tell the story real quick, not the whole thing, but I was in a bar, after the bar, confrontation happened, somebody started with me, hit the kid, whatever, cops came over, never identified themselves as cops, okay? Five of them started hitting me from behind, kicking me in the back of the head, took out their billy clubs, their nightsticks, were whacking me with it, threw me into a car, so I started throwing punches back. Again, I did not know they were cops. They never identified. I thought it was the kid's friends jumping me. What am I supposed to do? So I started throwing punches back. Needless to say, that didn't work very well. They got me on the ground, stomping on my head, stepping on my head, kicking me in the ribs. I filed a thing with internal affairs and everything, but nothing ended up coming of it. And they just get away with that all the time. I've seen it happen, you know, and not that, you know, that's anything like a cop shooting people like they've been doing or they've supposedly been doing. But I think it is going on. I'm sorry. I do think it is going on. I think the cops are getting away with this everywhere. And until they put their foot down, there's not going to be a deterrent. Until they throw a cop in jail for this shit, there is not going to be a deterrent. Now, what Justin was just talking about, the dog thing, I just saw in my news feed today, and I didn't go look into it, so I don't know how legit it is, but I think it's probably a real story. It was a guy that killed a police dog. 35 years in jail.
Wasn't it 20 or 23 years, something like that?
Maybe there was another one. I saw one that was 35. Okay. It could be two. Who knows? Well, 35 years, even if it's 23.
Well, that's a double standard. If a cop kills your dog, it's just property. And,
yep.
But if you kill a police dog, you're killing an officer. You know, so
I would have loved if they asked, why did you kill the cop's dog? I thought he had rabies. That's what they said.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely one of their big excuses.
But dude, like, how degrading is that to have the cops come in your house and kill your fucking dog, man? Like, dude,
or the best is when it's in a yard where it can't get at them, and they're capping the fucking dogs, you know. Which, you know, and or even one I saw last week, a little fucking ankle biter dog ran out. You know, they were tear gassed in the house, and the guy let the dog out because he probably figured, you know, he didn't want the dog to get tear gassed. And the dog ran, you know, towards the cops, and then it turned around and ran back because obviously it was like, you know, half confused. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell are these guys doing? After it turned and went away, it was like, you know, probably some type of little terrier. Well, they shot the little thing. You know what I mean? And you know, this wasn't something where it was widely disseminated where you know, you would say, hey, that's fake. You know what I mean? For the most part, the only way I usually jump on the fake bandwagon is when you see something that's all over the news. When it's the number one story on CNN and Fox News and every channel. To me, that right there makes me say, most likely this story is 90% hoax at least. You know what I'm saying? But when you see something like that, it just happens to come up, you know, just some.
Yeah,
somebody,
if you got a lot of local stories put together, it's not just this one big media event. It makes it more real to me, you know? And I think they are getting weird. And I just think, Justin, man, and I know you have a cat, so same thing for you, buddy. Like, what if those motherfuckers came in there and shot your cat? Huh? What if they came in and shot your cat and you didn't do anything? And then nothing was done about it. Man, I'd want to blow up that police station. I know I shouldn't say that, but that's what I'd want to do.
Oh, yeah. No, same thing. You know, and I've had dogs before, too. You know, I mean, the same thing with, you know, dogs are loyal. And you know, if especially, say they come in your house, well, you know, your dog is taught, you know, your dog's instinct is to protect you in your house. I mean, you know, if your dog goes at him instead of them just taking the dog, but, you know.
Yeah, and he's just being a good dog. Your dog goes at him, you're just protecting your house, man.
Well, and that's the thing is that there's other ways, and you would think that the SWAT teams would be, you know, would be taught, you know, ways to handle that as far as, like, you know, maybe one of those pole type things.
Maybe bring a tranquilizer dot that they can shoot instead of a bullet.
Right.
Like, seriously,
right.
Dude. Save my dog's life. Shoot a dot in him. That's fine. Whatever.
Right. If you know a guy's got a dog too, and it's not like an enforcer dog, it's just, you know, his regular family dog. Well, then come there, you know, like you said, with a non, you know, a less lethal weapon at least for the dog. You know, come there and then get one of those poles and put it around, you know, his neck if you got it.
There's plenty of tranquilizers that can knock a dog out. It's not like it's a horse and you have to get a really strong one. They can knock a dog out.
Right. And they don't care,
dude. They don't care. They're so, I don't know if hypocritical is the word, but they would be hypocritical if the situation was reversed. They're so hypocritical, like, they would never want somebody to do that to their family and their dog. They want the person to die, but it's okay. We'll shoot your fucking dog. You know why? Because we're cops, and every time something big happens where we kill somebody, just like in Ferguson, we get away with it. I mean, whether that's real or not, that's their mentality, you know? So that's what happens. It's according to them. And that's what we do. We get away with it. And it's going to happen again. And the cops are going to get the other cops back every time. You know why? Because that could be me next time. I could be the one that shot the guy. I need my brother on the blue fucking uniform, the thin blue line behind my back, you know?
All right. Oh, that's insane. You know, and I mean, I don't know, and that's the thing, too. I know, you know, and even talking to people, that, you know, even ex-cops and stuff, and you know, and they have no problem, you know, they have no problem, you know, telling people, believing that their life is more sacred than your life or your kid's life. And you know, for, like I said, for someone in that line of work, that's just the wrong attitude to have, you know what I mean? You should be in there thinking, you know, these are supposedly American citizens and that, you know, prevention of life and figure, well, you know, hey, I'm wearing a vest. He's not, you know, I don't know. It's something that they should be looking at, but they're not, you know, because they're selfish bastards. They just care. And hey, you know, another thing, too, is most people don't realize. They think that, oh, well, cops are underpaid. Bullshit. They work 20 years. They get a huge pension. I know cops that you know, working overtime.
Yeah, when they work overtime, they make tons of money. If they work a detail, they can make like $150, $200 in 3 hours, 4 hours.
That's the thing. I know. A cop. You know, from my area, that brings home six figures, and he's not even a you may be a sergeant, you know, like a or whatever the lower.
If you're a sergeant on the same police here, you'll bring home six figures. You'll start at like 75 as a regular lowest rank on the state police force. It's 75, and it's like 105, 110 if you're the first rank up a sergeant. Now in Lowell, the salaries are actually pretty good, but all the suburbs are not as good. Like, it's a big difference. So, like, with next town over, you start at, like, 400 or 500 a week, but in Lowell, you'd start at, like, 900, 1,000, you know, or, you know, maybe a little less, but it's
What's crazy here is the suburban cops get paid as much or more than the weird Raven cops. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's not like that here at all. It's usually the more dangerous, the more money, pretty much, is how it works here.
You would think, and another thing too is there's less standards on becoming a New Haven cop. You know, they'll take somebody with just a diploma, just a high school diploma and 6 weeks of the academy. Whereas the suburban ones want you to go for criminal justice or something like that too, or you know, whatever the case may be.
And
I'll tell you, from living in a suburb. You know, the thing here is, you know, they all have these brand new, beautiful SUVs and they just got cop cars a few years before. And, you know, the crazy thing about it though, is, you know, if you take a ride at night in my town, you may see five or six cars in the road and you know what, you're going to see five or six cop cars in that same amount of time. So, you know, it's insane how much they're out and how much they're working. And the fact that if there's no criminals in a place, they're going to make some because, you know, not only do they need the revenue, but I'm sure they get bored and, you know, they want to be the guy to make the big bust or whatever the case may be. You know, it's a big, what could I say? Not morale, but it's compensating, you know, trying to show off who's got more balls or who's, you know, the better cop. And that's why, you know, I used to get pulled over twice a week for a certain amount of time. You know, it got ridiculous.
Well, it's like a gang initiation almost, really.
Oh, totally.
They're the world's biggest gang, really.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, well, that's the thing, too. They're all... You know, a cop from the U.S. considers a cop from the U.K. his brother or whatever, you know, and that's the blue wall of silence. And if you break the blue wall of silence, you'll never work as a cop again. So, I mean, right there, that just shows it. Well, hey, that's your career and that's what you've, you know, wanted to do your whole life, you know.
They'll never say nothing, dude. They'll never say nothing. It's crazy. It's just like, I can't believe it's gotten to this level. Like, I've known my whole life cops did crooked things. I know they shook down people for money, shook down drug dealers or bookies. I know there was some assault and battery by cops and stuff like that, brutality. But the way that they're just smoking people now at will and nothing's happening is fucking insane to me, dude. I'm not going to lie, dude. It makes me a little scared. Like, and I don't see the feet into the fear. I know that. But it makes me a little scared of the cops, you know?
No, I'm scared of mouthing off to a cop now.
I don't want them to fucking shoot me.
No, to be honest, I'll admit it. You know, I see those red and blue flashers go off, and I honestly think, you know, not necessarily that I may get shot, but hey, you never know, and I may get a nightstick across the teeth. You know what I mean? And that's the thing about it. Because,
but nothing. They're tough because they got a badge. Take the badge off and see what you got.
Well, here's the thing too. Another thing is. You may not even be, like, say for instance, me, I might not even be a tough guy, but me just exercising my rights and saying, no, you can't search my trunk or no, you can't search my glove box, you know, or whatever. Well, they'll get mad about that, you know, and take it personally and I've seen them where you know, they actually will start an altercation over something like that and say, you know, oh, okay, well, we're going to get the fucking dogs down here, you know, and treat you like a pile of shit. Instead of, you know, treating you innocent until proven guilty when, you know, and they always pull the same thing. Well, we smell marijuana in the car, so we have we can shoot. I mean, we have a right to search. But, you know, obviously, how is your no, you know what I mean? You're going to say that whenever you want to search, you know what I mean? Regardless if you smell it or not. And most of the times, I hadn't been smoking in the car, and they'd always use that excuse. Well, I smell marijuana in here, you know, step out of the car and. You try to object to it, and you're gonna get, you know, you're going to get searched twice as bad, you know, and it's, and, you know, it's just ridiculous and emasculating at the same time, and they love it, you know?
No, they get a thrill off. Imagine being such a coward that you would get a thrill off shooting unarmed civilians. Like, where is the dignity and the integrity, like the oath that you took to protect citizens? Like, I know a lot of shit that goes on, like stuff like that, and then truce, not truces, but little sayings and speeches, and I don't even know what you call it. A lot of that's just bullshit, of course, but I would think if you went to school to be a cop, and you went through the academy, like, you'd have some fucking pride about it, and you'd want to do your job, and you'd want to protect people at least. Even if you did some things crooked, and you did some shady stuff to make extra money, or, you know, you let some people go that you shouldn't because you were being a good guy to people, you know, it's nothing big or whatever. Even if you did shit like that, like, you would think you would want to protect people and not have people be fair to you in the community, wouldn't you?
Well, that's the old mantra, you know, they used to be respected members of the community. And they used to be pride themselves on that, but nowadays, you know, even older people, and you know, for example, my parents, you know, they would never call the cops because they know that it's more trouble than
involving them in your life.
Right, than the original problem. You know, say you're having, you know, say your neighbor gets lippy with you, or even threatens you.
You guys are better off beating the shit out of each other 10 times than going through the court system.
That's it, because now you call the cops and, well, hey, you know, you're both going to get arrested now. And, you know, it's just fucked up. You know, it's
well,
it's
hey, what do you got in that house? I'm going to search your house. Hey, what's this? Oh, who's smoking this? Who's doing this? You know what I mean?
Right.
There'd be no reason for them to be there if they were fucking minding their own business. That happened to me. I'm going to tell you this right now. Listen to me. So we talk about this in domestics and feminism. Remember this talk we had? And about how the cops come and the guy gets arrested and blah, blah, blah. Well, listen to this. I had and I agree with that, by the way, generally, but this is a different relationship. So I had a girlfriend at the time. I have nothing bad to say about her now. You know, she was a good person, but we fought all the time, okay? And this is when I was, like, 21. Going to the with her. And she had started to fight with me one time. So when we started, we picked up way out of hand, screaming at me. We had been, like, a gated community night apartment in Ashland, New Hampshire. It was real nice. And the cops got called because she was fucking flipping out over nothing. They came there, and she had a little bit of weed on the table, and they arrested her for it. She got charged with the weed, and it was nothing.
Yeah, no, I've heard of that happening many times as well, so... You know,
they would never seen the weed. They seen the weed because they came to the house and she didn't try to blame it on me, which most girls would not do, but she took the blame for it. It was hers, and she went to jail.
You know, and here's another thing, too, is unless somebody's in danger, you know, they really don't have the right to just barge in. And they do that, you know, so if they show up at your house, you know, for a complaint or something, and even if you walk outside to meet them, well, they'll say, you know, you have to let me in your house. And even if you both parties...
They'll do that with your car, too. If they arrest you in the house somewhere, they'll still tow your car. Even if you weren't in your car doing a crime.
Yep. Oh, yeah, no, it's... You know, and that's the thing, and I think, you know, I know people may be skeptical of this, but I'll tell you, now, you know, we are living in a police state here. You know, the FEMA camp stuff is nonsense, but we're living in an encroaching, we're actually prisoners in our own communities now, to a point to where, you know, there are so many cops to people. And they're on these you know the reason that they're getting these carrots waved in front of them, you know, the federal you know the feds are making them take money and waving things in front of them and saying, okay, you can take this, and now, you know, you go to this course for Homeland Security and you can get this or that, the other thing. And of course, they're not going to say no, you know. And we're going to give you this piece of military hardware, or whatever the case may be. We just want you to go to this course or whatever. So that's the thing. They're getting more and more radicalized, you know. And it's, you know, it's obviously a plan from the top. You know, they want, you know, they want them to be more aggressive. And I've said it before too. You know, back in the day we grew up, cops used to wear blue. Well, now they went from like royal blue to dark blue, and now from dark blue to black. Well, here's the simple thing behind the psychology of that. just like playing dress up, you know, like if you dress up as a football player, you know, you're going to feel, you know, even for Halloween, you know, you're going to feel like a little bit more, you know, stronger, tough, you know, whatever, because it's going to, you know, make you, you know. But so that's the thing. Now they're dressing up as paramilitary. So what does that do to their mind state? It makes them, you know, and now they have a, you know, a automatic gun or a semi-automatic rifle in the trunk, and you know, a riot shotgun in the trunk, and all these other things, and you know, and what that does to their mind as opposed to when they just used to have a Glock 9 with, you know, with a clip and. You know, and they would have to call in the special cops for anything like that. Well, now they all have it right in their cruisers, and, you know, and it's like I said, it's a big thing to their psychology. Like, you know, they feel like they're in a war zone, you know. So, I mean, it goes both ways. I mean, you know, as far as, you know, they enjoy, you know, torturing us to make us, you know, not torturing, but you know, making us so scared that you'll submit at any time, and you know, as far as the 10th Amendment, 4th Amendment, they're out the window. You know what I mean? So, as far as it goes now, it's really just you're guilty until proven innocent, and the only way to be proven innocent is to spend a lot of money, because most people don't have that type of money to get a great lawyer and to worry about taking it to trial and beating it. So what are you going to do? You're going to take a plea bargain, you know. So and then the plea bargain. Well, now you got a rap.
It's ridiculous. The deal, like, how many? They basically intimidate you. They're like, you're going to take this. So I'm not guilty. Well, if you don't take this plea bargain and take 5 years, basically you're going to get 20 when we find you guilty for making us go through the trouble and you try to prove yourself innocent. It's the biggest fucking crock of shit.
It is, and that's the thing too. Like, even for something small, you know, say for example, you know, you got an assault second case, which is a felony or whatever. You know, now you want to you want to make sure that you don't have this felony on your record. So what are you gonna do? Of course, you're gonna plead out to assault third, even if you don't feel that you assaulted somebody that bad. Even, you know, maybe you figure breach of peace is what you deserve.
Once you're in the court system, they got you by the balls, kid.
That's it.
Mr. Sloan, you need some input from you.
They'll probably wrap it up pretty soon, though, so.
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up, guys, soon. It's James, do you have any final points you want to bring up first about anything we're saying before we wrap it up, and then I want to ask your opinion on something?
Okay, yeah, well, I just think, in regards to the police stuff, I think, whether it's just alluded to, whether the big CNN cases are real or not, I think that certainly 95% of them are, certainly the ones we see on Facebook. And if you think about it, you know, the way they're training them at the academy, it has to be for something. You know, they don't really need to fake it, because they just wait for a case to come up and go through the court system. You know, when they decide they want to push their agenda, will they just hand out a not guilty verdict? I guess, because this happened in August, didn't it, this case? Because Justin was talking about the body under the sheet in August. So,
right, you know, August 9th,
So, I mean, they have a dozen cases they can pick and choose from, and when they want to push that agenda, well, you know, all they have to do is just dig one of those cases up and just dismiss it, not charge them. And
do you see the same modus operandi in your country? Like, do they pull the same stuff with your media and your government and your police? Or is it toned down a notch? Is there no police brutality because there's no guns? How does it work?
Yeah, it's a lot more civilized. I mean, I still think the cops, pretty much in every country, they are self-protecting. What I was saying before I got disconnected is we have, you know, to investigate things, we have what's supposedly independent police complaints authority. I mean, I don't know how independent it actually is, but I mean, it's not going to nearly the same level here or even in Australia where the cops are armed. England, I'm not too sure about. But yeah, obviously in the States, it's something else. I mean, I'd say probably cops maybe 70% good, 30% bad, whereas in America, it sounds like it's probably 85-15 or maybe worse. I don't know. I'm sure you guys know a few good cops. But.
Well, Well, you know, in my opinion, I think it's like it's also who they're surrounded by, and I think it's a case of a few bad apples
oh, yeah.
to spoil the good
it's
ones.
It's almost like
too,
the
yeah.
locker room or the football team. If you got the right exactly. leadership in place, the other people will fall in line. But if you got people that let shit go, it gets chaotic and out of control. Right, kind of.
Exactly. No, that's definitely pretty much what I was saying. Yeah, great way of breaking it down. No, it's exactly like that. You know, because that's the thing. If you get a chief in there that's no nonsense and doesn't stand for that shit, well, you know, you're going to not do it, or you're going to keep it under wraps more. But if you get for example, out here in New Haven a few years back, they had a narcotics squad, and the head of it was okay in them going around planting drugs on people. They were hitting drug dealers up, not arresting them and taking their shit. They were doing all types of stuff like that. And obviously it was from the top down. The head of the narco squad was involved in this for 20. Everybody knew he was crooked. And of course, so then the cowboy cops wanted to be on this narcotics squad. And of course they started doing the same things. And
cowboy cops, does that mean internal affairs, or what is it?
No, I mean the cowboy cops by the young, dumb,
the good guys.
You know,
oh, okay.
No,
all right.
No, I mean the bad guys.
The guys trying to make a name for themselves.
Exactly, the guys that come out of, you know, they're high school football players that, you know, that or whatever. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was a high school football player, but yeah, you know what I mean.
Not you. I don't mean all high school. I mean them. They are those. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right. Well, the thing is, you know, they come out and you know they're a big strong guy or whatever, and they're aggressive, and you know the testosterone's flowing. They're 27 years old, and you know, what better way to make a name for yourself than to go around doing drug busts, and you know, so
yeah, maybe fuck around a pregnant woman or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, smash her belly with a nightstick, and
might have rabies.
That's one of the funniest memes I've seen recently. By the way, the one with Borat on there. I forget. I have to find it. But do you like tasing man for not showing his license, or smashing pregnant woman in belly with nightstick? You know, it's just pretty much what you know. It's just obviously in Borat's voice, it's hilarious. You know, but.
All right. Well, what do you guys think? Want to close it up, or we got anything else?
Yeah, I'm pretty much. I've said all my points. I'm gonna say, I think, but I don't know. You guys might have more to say. So.
No, I think I'm pretty good. On the way out, I'm gonna play the Bill Cosby Spanish Fly video, just for people to hear if anybody missed it in the beginning. The eerie video that Bill Cosby made glorifying getting women messed up on basically drugs or drinks and then having sex with them, and that's exactly what he does. James, anything else, or can we close it up, bud?
Yeah, just one more thing quickly. I just want to say that a lot
sure.
of this police
take
brutality...
Your time.
Sorry?
That's for sure. Go ahead, take your time. What do you got?
Oh, yeah, just quickly, that just to close it out, that a lot of this, there are forums online where, you know, like cops talk and stuff, and a lot of those brutality videos get posted there, and it's not surprising to see that they all defend it, and they all say that's how they were trained, and you know, they don't.
Oh, really? I want to see one of these sites. Can you throw a link in here so we can all go laugh at it?
I can't remember what it was, but it was, but yeah, because a lot of those tasing videos and stuff go viral.
I'd love to read that. That'd be like going to Popular Mechanics. You know, I won't even get into all that. But yeah, that's
yeah,
what
well,
they like to watch all these videos.
It just, even that, you know, you would think that a cop somewhere would stand up and say, hey, that's not right, you know, but they don't, you know, they don't
even know each other, and they lie to each their own, they lie to themselves that it's right, because they're going to protect each other no matter what. You know why? Because they know that sometime that could be them, and they want everybody to protect them no matter what, no matter who they kill, whose dog they kill, what women they hit, who they steal money from, what drug dealer they've robbed, you know what I mean? I don't know, but before we close up, let me make some more points real quick. What do you guys think about the punishments of these police officers? Don't you think for some crimes where they absolutely, totally abuse their power, there should be stiffer penalties for them?
Well, you know, here's my thing is, you know what, totally, but you know, here's the easiest thing to do. You want to stop cops from committing crimes. is, you know, you don't even really need to be stiffer penalties, but just penalize them as you penalize everybody else, and that means no special jails. Because, you know, like I said, around here, when the narcotics cops, they did get arrested, they did go to jail, they served about a year, you know, which most people would
have. Yeah, no PC and nothing like that.
Right, exactly. They went to a country club where they, you know, a place in New York State where it was, you know, nice. They lived in a dorm setting.
That's garbage, you know, dude. That's
garbage. Not 23-hour lockdown. They had a track. They had a weight room. You know, they had all this other stuff. And, you know, and like, and really, who was there but white-collar criminals, cops, and, you know, probably pedos and other people that, you know, that wouldn't last in the general population. So, you know, that you want to stop, you know, cops from committing crimes. Well, hey, put them in with the rest of the criminals. So that's what they are. If they commit a crime, they're a criminal, right? So, what's good
that's
for the goose
saying,
is good for the gander.
And they're still going to get off on a lot because they're not going to get prosecuted. We know that. So the very few times that it does get through and they do get prosecuted, let them get the same fucking punishment. It's not worse. Like, okay, I understand that there are ill people too, and I don't think that there are a lot of crimes that I do think they should just get the same punishment, not more. But there are some things, like using people while you're in your uniform and using your badge to do so, I think they should get a lot worse than me usually get for assault and battery. I just do. They're taking advantage of innocent victims. Like, it's such an abuse of power. There has to be a strong deterrent, man. That has to be a serious crime.
Hey,
they need to get...
You know,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, here's some other deterrents, too. How about that, you know, consider this. Every officer is bonded, right? You know, and that's what their badge is. It's a bond for an insurance. So when they do that, let's put something on there that says, okay, if you fuck somebody up for life, that you actually have to come out of your pocket and pay. And now here's another thing, too, is you know, these same cops that do this shit and go to jail and they come out, well, they get out and they get their pension still. You know, so, mm-hmm. I mean, if anybody else fucks up on a job, you know.
Yeah, that's
absurd. It is, and right, and you know, and somebody, get you know, doesn't do their full time, then they don't get a pension or they get, you know, less of a pension. Well, these guys are still getting a good amount of their pension, and a lot of them come out and they claim disability. And, of course, you know, the Fraternal Order of Police, which is really the force that runs it all, in my opinion, because, you know, they're kind of the lobbying wing of the
cops.
Well,
they can enforce it on the local level, you know, the police.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. You know, you have these groups that you know, they shun any cop that goes against the blue wall of silence. So, I mean, you know, and I'm sure even too, if there's a sergeant that wants to go old school and doesn't want, I mean, not a sergeant, if there's a captain or commandant or whatever the hell the top guy is that doesn't want to take the military hardware or whatever, then I'm sure they're probably told by, you know, their local rep for that or whatever that, hey, you know, well, you better take this or else you're not going to get any other favors or you're not going to, you know. So, I mean, it's really just a long line of, you know, of play, you know, play the game our way or else don't play it at all. And you know, it's, I don't know, it's messed up. It's a messed up world. And, I don't see it getting any better. You know, it's, and, you know, and to be honest, when you get pulled over by a cop, you don't have any rights anymore. You know, just really, all these people that, you know, yes, okay, you can say, am I being detained? Am I free to leave? But they may, you know, they may not recognize that right, you know. So, you know, they may not recognize your you know, Fifth Amendment right to not speak or whatever. Or, you know, so it's really, I don't know. Something's got to give, and I think we're going to see a lot of bloodshed in this country eventually. And we're going to see a lot of instigating instances. Go ahead, James.
Well, I just mean, you know, the way they always portray it on the movies, especially to the rest of the world, you know, like that they need a warrant and this, that, and the other thing to search. Is that all just crap?
It's mostly crap. I mean, they're technically supposed to have it, but they abuse that real fast.
Well, it depends, too. I mean, you know, if as far as a car, what they'll do is a lot of times if the town has a dog, you know, then what they'll do is they don't have a warrant, but they'll say, okay, fine, you don't want to let us search your car, we'll bring the dog down here. And a lot of people will cave right there and just say, okay, all right. Yeah. They'll say, why don't you just cop out now, and we'll give you a lesser punishment, which isn't true. You know, we'll cut you off easy. Just let us know now, but we're gonna bring the dog down here, and search the car. Well, so when they do, they're gonna bring the dog down there, and now the dog can either smell something, or they could pretend the dog smelled something, because that's another thing too. They know how to.
Yeah, they just need to make up probable cause.
Right. So that's the thing too is you know, how are you going to tell a court that the dog you know, didn't do the right signal for smelling a drug or smelling whatever it supposedly smelled, for them to say, oh, the dog got a hit, we're going to search the car now. You know, it's your word against theirs, and you don't know what the dog's signal is or when he barks or whatever the case may be, that it smells something or whatever. They could just lie and say they did. You know, and yeah. You know the. So I mean, and that's the thing. Once they do that, even what they do is you know, the dog hits something, then they could just they'll search it, and then they'll take your car in and wait for the warrant or whatever type thing, and then if they find anything in an unopened space, they're allowed they'll search that first, but then the spaces are locked, they'll have it, and then as soon as the judge faxes over the warrant, then they'll pop the trunk or the glove box that is locked. So it's just a bunch of you know, I don't know what the word for it is.
If you make them get the warrant, they're gonna get it every time.
Yeah, pretty much.
If you make them get the warrant, they're pretty much gonna get it every time, unless they're really reaching.
Well, a lot of times, you know, you call their bluff, because a lot of times, you know, nine times out of ten, they probably won't, but still, if they really want you, they will. You know what I mean? It comes down to it, but you know, but yeah, if they want to get a warrant, it doesn't take. You know, they're not going to get turned down. So if they really want you, then that's pretty much how that goes. But a lot of times, they don't want to be bothered sitting around and waiting. They don't want to be, so you're probably better off calling their bluff on things like that, you know. And even if you're not dirty, you know, I mean, that's the thing, is people need to stand up for themselves, you know, especially for things like that. You know, it's most people don't even know their rights though, as far as it goes. And like I said, what rights even apply anymore? I don't know. I'm probably babbling at this point. So I mean, I don't know.
Well, I guess for an outsider, I mean, so an outsider in your country, your advice would be to call their bluff or to just go along with everything they say? Yes, sir. What would your advice be?
My advice would be this. It would just be to be, you know, to be respectful, but to stand your ground, you know what I mean? For the most part, you know, yes, you know, yes, no, sir. What, you know, you don't even have to say sir, but yes, you know, no. You know, and just speak in a, you know, you don't gotta get aggressive or be a dick, but just, you know, you would say, no, you know, I'm not comfortable with that, or, you know, if you have nothing to hide, then you have nothing to be afraid of. Well, you know, I'm just not comfortable with you ripping through my car right now, you know, I don't, you know, so pretty much, I mean, you know, it depends on the situation, of course, too, but if you're just being pulled over, you know, in a random day, and they're, you know, I don't see why you know you have to let them search the car. You don't. So I mean, it depends on the situation. But you know, I would play it just like if I was a citizen. There's they have no reason to search you anymore, and they have reason to search
for
anybody
else.
Some reasons
they don't need a warrant though. Like if you get pulled over and you have no insurance on your car, they're searching your car automatically.
Right.
Anytime your car is getting towed, it's getting searched because they're doing inventory supposedly.
Right. And same thing with registry. Your reg is lapsed. Your registration is lapsed. Something like that. You know, same thing. Yep. So and that's why they have so many things, and that's why you have to get it renewed so often. Yeah, exactly. But I don't know.
All right, let's wrap it up, guys.
We all got to get up and have our turkey dinner tomorrow or whatever. And but yeah, hey, to all our listeners out there, you know, whether you celebrate or not, definitely, yeah, enjoy your Thanksgiving, enjoy your time with your family, whether you, you know. Regardless of the origins of the holiday or whatever, you know, who gives a shit? It's a good day to sit back and enjoy time with your family and you know, sit there like a fat ass American for one day and watch some football. You know, who gives a shit?
Well, yeah, I mean, as you've alluded to in the past, regardless of the origins and whatever, you know, that especially these days where the family unit is so broken, those family right. days are important, especially for the children.
Oh, totally. Yeah, no, that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand. You know, it's that, you know, okay, fine. You know, you want to give it up just because, you know, you're, and especially the ones that have religious connotations like Christmas or whatever. Well, I don't believe in it because it's based on a pagan deity, or, you know, it's based on a, you know, Saturn worship. Or, well, you know what? I enjoy the time eating with my family and eating, you know, and watching little kids have joy opening their presents and everything. And, you know, to me, you know, it's one of the best times
buddy,
of year.
Buddy, the best way to sum it up, Justin, we get misery from all that fake shit. So the shit that's fake that we can get joy from, let's take the joy.
No, you might as well. Exactly.
Right? Why throw away everything? And some of the things are good that come along with the bullshit package, like the family time that comes from the bullshit, the holiday stories. Let's take the family time and fucking enjoy it and laugh at them. Put it right in their face. Love you. We know your story sucks, but we're going to hang out with our family. Beat it.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, there's no reason to sit home and be a shut-in just because, you know, you don't like the government, or you don't like the, you know, you think the Indians got fucked over. Well, you know what? They did get fucked over, but that was a long time ago.
The stuffing's still going to taste good tomorrow. God, my family didn't do it. That stuffing and gravy is going to taste good tomorrow.
Right, exactly. Not hey, you know what? Your family may have. Hey, my family may have, too, especially to the Indians, not to the blacks. But being in New England, you know, if... I have family that came over, actually, on my father's side.
Well, on the Mayflower,
On the Mayflower,
did
yeah.
Did he hear the picture in the Santa Maria?
No, wasn't that Columbus? The Mayflower was the pilgrim boat, yeah. The Nina Pinto.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and Columbus brought the other three, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, same bullshit.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing down here. I mean, the Europeans came down to Australia and New Zealand and... Yeah, they ripped off the indigenous, but, you know, I mean, it's not the fault of anybody alive today,
right.
But, I mean, you know, perhaps our ancestors maybe got something to answer for, I don't know, but still, you know, I mean.
Yeah, it's just, and, you know, and here's the thing, it's I mean, and as fucked up as it is, you know, really to compare, it's like what's happening in Israel modern day, but. You know what? I mean, I can't blame the people. You know, say you grew up in Israel your whole life. You know, yes, you shouldn't be fucking hateful towards the Palestinians, but that is now your home, whether you took it illegally or not or whatever. You know, obviously, I'm totally against settlements, and I'm pretty much 99% against or 100% against pretty much everything the Israeli government does. But if they were to go back to the 67 borders and leave the Palestinians alone and go to a two-state solution, then I would say, fine, have your little piece of land over there. That's, you know, it doesn't bother me anymore. You know, just give them back the land that has been taken that wasn't in the original treaties or whatever type thing. You know, and, but, you know, because that's what we're looking at here is the same thing that happened in New Zealand, Australia, America. You know, where the Europeans came over and well, that's what's happening in Israel right now. I mean, it's kind of sad that, you know, yes, we do, you know, we're against what Israel's doing, but we're based on the same thing. But hey, this is 300, 400 years ago now. So, I mean, what are we going to do? It wasn't, you know, it wasn't our fault that, you know, our ancestors or whatever killed some Indians and took over the land and gave them smallpox or whatever. I mean, at this point in time, what are we going to do? You know, there's many Indians left even. I'm not going to give them
my
house.
Yeah, well, and equally too, I mean, you know, at some point you have to get past it because, you know, the people that were originally ripped off are long since dead. Their grandchildren's grandchildren are dead. The only people that are going to benefit from settlements are a couple of really lucky people who just happen to be the ancestors. You know, you can't achieve true justice because the people whose lands were pillaged are long gone, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And here, that's one thing the American Indians, well, the ones that live on the reservations, you know, like out west and stuff, like the Navajo and stuff, they're living pretty rough. And a lot of those, you know, different tribes, Nez Perce, I believe is another one. And even in Canada, you know, they're living pretty rough on the res. But out here in Connecticut, a lot of them, they don't really look like Indians to me. A lot of them either look white or black. You know, they don't look like what you would think of as an, because they're not. They're maybe 1/16th Mohegan or 1/16th Mashantucket Pequot. And you know what? They live on tribal land, which is around a casino, and they live lavishly. I played football with a kid at Milford Academy, and he was from the Foxwoods, you know, the Pequot tribe. And the kid was a black kid, and his family had, the kid was brought down to school in a limo. And I, you know, I even went up with him to the casino in a limo. And he came down and brought, you know, he showed me pictures of his house up there. It was a big, beautiful house on the reservation, and he had tigers and wolves and all these other stuff and exotic animals. So I mean, you know, like you said, the people that deserve it aren't getting it. These people that luckily just happen to have the right amount of blood in them to claim, hey, I'm a Mohegan or I'm a Pequot. Well, they're living lavishly, but you know, the real ones that are still left that are out west for the most part aren't doing that well. But yeah, no, it's a what are you gonna do? We can't change the past. You know, we can't change what's even happened 10 years ago at this point. You know, all we can do is try to make the future better and try not to make the same mistakes and try not to encourage more violence and more pillaging. And you know, I don't know. At this point, I just want to live my life and not be bothered and not told that I'm a you know, not told that I'm a chauvinist because I don't bow down to the, you know, PC feminist bullshit, or told that I'm a racist because I don't buy into the white guilt thing, you know, or that I don't buy into the white privilege thing, which is the silliest fucking thing there is out there, you know. But that's all I want to do. And hey, I wish all these people the best. I wish that they would, you know, take it upon themselves to better their communities. But, you know, of course, they have these influences, whether it's Jesse Jackson or Sharpton or the rappers. Christ, we look at guys like Jay-Z and you know, all of them, really. I don't, not just to single out him, but he's one of the worst. But they're 40 years old, and they're still talking about shooting up a nigga and selling crack. And, you know, you're talking about destroying your own people, you know. And the fact that they're celebrated, of course, you know, yes, they're part of the machine that's running us into the ground. But you know, let's call a spade a spade. You know, these people are the ones that are leading this cultural revolution. So it is what it is. But all we could do is let people know what's good and what's not, and try to better ourselves and our families, because you know, people aren't seeing it our way, and it is what it is. So, you know, what are you gonna do?
Nothing.
That's it.
All right. Let's wrap it up. I'm beat. I get hit in a sec.
Me too.
That was good, though. Good closing it out. All right, guys. Thank you for listening to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm going to close it out with the Bill Cosby Spanish Fly stand-up so you guys can hear it for anybody that missed it. And we'll be back in, you know, probably 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. We'll let you know. If you're not on the email list, it's just to the right of the chat. If you just sign up with the email, I'll send you an email when we announce a new show on the Showtime, or if we write a new blog, I will send you an email to announce the new blog. If you haven't checked out our Facebook group, there's links to it right on the page. We do a lot of discussions there all week long. Thanks for listening to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm Brian Staley, for Justin Cook, James Sloan. Everybody, have a great night, and have a great Thanksgiving.
When I was 13, man, start talking about weird things. No, really. Stand on the corner. You know anything about Spanish Fly? What? Spanish Fly. It always happens when you're 13. Only when you're 13 on up to, like, when you get married. Guys stand around and talk about Spanish Fly, and it never starts with one of the guys on the corner. It's always some strange 13-year-old that says, you know what? You know anything about Spanish Fly? No, tell me about it. Well, there's this girl, Crazy Mary. You put some in her drink, man, she... Yeah, Spanish... Oh, yeah, that's really groovy, man. Spanish Fly is groovy, yeah, boy. From then on, man, anytime you see a girl... Well, she has a Spanish Fly, boy. Go to a party, see five girls standing alone. Boy, if I had a whole jug of Spanish Fly, I'd light that corner up over there. So I thought it only existed in Philadelphia, you know, and I'm working on I Spy, and Bob and I are working together. Sheldon Leonard comes up, says, boys, I Spy is going to Spain. A childhood dream come true. I said to Bob, you know, because he don't know nothing about it. I said, hey, Bob, you know what I'm going to pick up when I'm in Spain? He said, Spanish fly. I said, wait a minute, man. How'd you know about it? He said, are you kidding? There's a girl in my neighborhood in Berkeley. Name's Crazy Mary. We gave her some trouble. And every time he told me a story, I had heard it. Every time I told him a story, he had heard it. We all knew the same story. So I figured there's got to be a guy about 2,000 years old that looks 13 going around the world.
You guys know anything about Spanish fly?
So Bob and I, man, we're just singing. Gonna get some Spanish fly. Spanish fly, love it, love it. And we're riding on the plane, Spanish fly, Spanish fly. And we're getting to go through customs. This is the land of Spanish fly. Spanish fly. We get in the cab, Ryan, driver. Bob says, ask this guy if he knows where we can get some Spanish fly. I said, you know, ask the cab driver. No, ask the cab driver. He may know, man. Driver, stays in your arm. Listen, you Spanish? Si, senor, you American?
Yes.
You come from America?
Yes.
You could tell me maybe you brought with you some American fly?
Okay, everybody. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Dose of Reality Radio. Brian Staley, Justin Cook, and James Sloan.